This Friday is the 10th day of Teves, which is the fast day that commemorates the siege that the Babylonians set around Yerushalayim, which precipitated all of the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, the first Beis HaMikdash. And even though we had a second Beis HaMikdash, so what are we mourning? Things that were only relevant to the first Beis HaMikdash. Nothing happened on Asara B'Teves vis-a-vis the second Beis HaMikdash, only the first. And we had a second Beis HaMikdash, so why are we mourning the first Beis HaMikdash? The answer is that what we lost by the first Beis HaMikdash, we never regained. There were five things missing in the second Beis HaMikdash that were existent in the first Beis HaMikdash. Incidental things like the Aron and the Luchos. Right? It's like having a shul without a Sefer Torah. The Shechina didn't come back to the second Beis HaMikdash to the intensity that was in the first. And comparative, it's like there was no Shechina. The fire that descended on the altar, the heavenly fire, didn't come in the second Beis HaMikdash. And the Urim V'Tumim, the special spiritual power that lighted up the stones on the Choshen, on the breastplate, and were able to project prophetic messages, didn't exist in the second Beis HaMikdash. So these were very, very serious things. So we're still mourning the first Beis HaMikdash, not only the second Beis HaMikdash. Besides the fact that the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash was what precipitated all the tzaras after that, and this was the beginning of it, so we commemorate that beginning on the 10th of Teves. And there's something special about the 10th of Teves, which this year we are going to experience somewhat. The Sfarim say that if Asara B'Teves would fall on Shabbos, it can't according to the calendar we have. The closest it can come is like this year, it falls on Friday. But if it would fall on Shabbos, we'd fast on Shabbos. Unlike every other fast day where you fast the day after. If Tisha B'Av falls on Shabbos, you fast on Sunday. If Shavuos or Tammuz falls on Shabbos, you fast on Sunday. Those fast days can fall on Shabbos, and we push them off to the next day. The exception to that is Tainus Esther. If Tainus Esther falls on Shabbos, because Purim is on Sunday, then we fast the Thursday before. But we don't fast on Shabbos. The only fast day that we fast on Shabbos is Yom Kippur. If Yom Kippur falls on Shabbos, we fast. Why is Asara B'Teves an exception? Because it says by Asara B'Teves the same terminology that it says by Yom Kippur, which tells us that you fast on Yom Kippur on Shabbos. It says, Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh, the midst of this day. From that the rabbis learned that no matter what day it falls on, Yom Kippur you fast, even Shabbos. Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh, it always has to be on the midst of that day, it can't be pushed off or whatever. So it says by Asara B'Teves the same terminology, Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh, the midst of this day. And therefore they learn that just like if Yom Kippur falls on Shabbos, you fast. Asara B'Teves that falls on Shabbos, if it could fall on Shabbos, according to the calendar, the way we have it set up, it can't, you fast. And therefore, when it falls on Friday, you don't push it back to Thursday or ahead to Sunday, but you fast on Friday the entire day, and you don't break your fast till after Kiddush. So people will be fasting into Shabbos. So really we're fasting a little bit into Shabbos this Friday.
Where does it say that?
In the, what's it called, in Divrei Hayomim, I think. The end of Divrei Hayomim, or the end of Malachim Days, where it speaks about the siege, it says, Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh. Now, the question is, okay, that's the mechanics of it. Why? Why did the Navi say, Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh by Asara B'Teves, and not by any of the other fast days? So one idea is that this is the beginning, the Atchalta de Puronasa Adifa, the beginning of anything, the root and the foundation is both important positively and it's also important negatively. Something that set the stage for everything that came afterwards is very serious, and therefore, like I said, Asara B'Teves was the first seeds of destruction, the siege. And therefore, since it was the seeds of everything that would come later came from that beginning, so therefore it's very serious, and even if it fell on Shabbos, you have to fast on Shabbos. But I have a much more specific idea, and I think that perhaps the idea is the following. There are four aspects to Golus. Why we mourn? What are we missing that we're mourning about because of the destruction of the temple and all the other tsaras that led up to that destruction? Why in Golus, what's the adverse effects of Golus? The first one is that we are not in control of our political situation. We don't rule the situation. We are under the rule of other peoples. They rule what we do, what we can do, what we can't do, whatever. We are under the political systems, the empires of other nations. That's one aspect of Golus. And that is the idea of Shibud Malchios. Golus is, we're subservient and subjugated to the nations of the world. We don't have our independence, we don't have our own royalty, our own empire, our own king, our own government. We're subservient to other governments. That's one aspect of Golus. Second aspect of Golus is that we are amongst the nations of the world, and we are therefore open to harm. We are vulnerable to the whims of the nations of the world, and they can make pogroms, and they can make holocausts, and they can make all different kinds of things that we are vulnerable to because we are amongst them, because we are not in our own land where we can protect ourselves or whatever. That's the second aspect of Golus. We're vulnerable to the dangers that the nations of the world present, physical and spiritual. The third aspect of Golus is we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, and that the Shechina is no longer with us in the way that it was when we had a Beis HaMikdash. Spiritually, we're missing the Beis HaMikdash and we're missing the Shechina. And the fourth thing is that we are not in Eretz Yisrael, we're in Chutz La'aretz, and that we are not united, but we're scattered amongst the nations of the world. Those are the four aspects of Golus. Again, first, we lose our independence. Second, we are vulnerable to the whims of the nations of the world. Thirdly, we lost a tremendous amount of spirituality, the Beis HaMikdash and the Shechina that went with it. And fourthly, that we are scattered amongst the nations of the world and not in Eretz Yisrael. Those are the four aspects of Golus. If you think about it, each of the four fast days that has to do with the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, each one deals with a different aspect of Golus. Asara B'Teves is when they made the siege and we lost our independence. We no longer had the independence to do, come and go as we please. The beginning of the loss of our independence, not complete, but the beginning of it, was Asara B'Teves. And a foreign nation came, besieged us, and basically dictated who comes in, who comes out, what comes in, what comes out. To a certain degree, we lost our independence. Secondly, the 17th day of Tammuz, the Goyim broke through the walls of Yerushalayim, and we were vulnerable to their evil designs. We no longer were protected by that protective wall. They were now amongst us. And the second aspect of Golus was on that day we became vulnerable to their evil designs. on the 9th of Av, we lost the Beis HaMikdash, and the Shechina went into Golus. So that aspect, the loss of spirituality, was on Tisha B'Av. And on Gimel Tishrei, Tzom Gedalia, we went out of Eretz Yisrael. Up until Tzom Gedalia, up until the killing of Gedalia, most Jews, after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, still were in Eretz Yisrael. Most Jews still lived in Eretz Yisrael under the leadership of Gedalia, who was appointed by the Babylonians as their vassal in Eretz Yisrael. When Gedalia was murdered, the people were afraid, and they fled Eretz Yisrael, and at that point, most Jews didn't live in Eretz Yisrael anymore. But that was only after the murder of Gedalia on the 3rd of Tishrei, which became Tzom Gedalia. Now let's take it one step further, and then we'll see why Asara B'Tevis is different than the other three. All these aspects of Golus didn't really happen completely on the day that these tragedies happened. For instance, on the 17th day of Tammuz, we did not become vulnerable to the nations of the world because we're still in Eretz Yisrael. But it was the beginning. It started the process where we no longer were protected by the walls of Yerushalayim. The Goyim came in, and that precipitated eventually that we'd go into exile and be vulnerable to their attacks all over the world. But the beginning, the seeds of it, were on what's it called, on Shavuot V'Tammuz. Right? But it didn't really take effect till much, much later. But it started the process. And even when the walls were broken down on Shavuot V'Tammuz, we weren't vulnerable to them until they actually get into the city and whatever. It just set it into motion. On Tisha B'Av, the truth is that the Beis HaMikdash wasn't destroyed on Tisha B'Av. It was destroyed on the 10th day of Av. The fire started on Mincha time, in the afternoon of the 9th of Av, and the Beis HaMikdash actually burnt through the night of the 10th until the 10th at Chatzos, till the midday of the 10th. And that's why there's still mourning on the 10th. And the Gemara says, then why wasn't the 10th day of Av made the day of mourning for the Beis HaMikdash if the majority was burned on the 10th? The Gemara says, because the beginning of the tragedy is the worst. Started on the 9th, that's the day you commemorate. So it didn't really... Actually, the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash was not on the 9th, it was on the 10th. That's one thing. Secondly, the truth is that the Beis HaMikdash, the spiritual, we're not mourning a bunch of walls. We're mourning the spiritual aspect of the Beis HaMikdash and the Shechinah. That already 40 years before the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, the Shechinah left. And when the Goyim, the Babylonians and Titus later on, the Romans, destroyed the Bate Mikdash, the Gemara says they ground up flour. Meaning they destroyed a destroyed building. Because the spiritual neshama of that building left way before because of our sins. All they did was destroy the outer shell, the outer facade. They couldn't destroy the inner spiritual Beis HaMikdash. A goy has no power over that. But we destroyed that with our sins. And we left just a shell. And they destroyed the shell. So really, the inner spiritual destruction took place way before. And even the physical destruction didn't take place on the 9th. It really took place mostly on the 10th. The same thing goes with Tzom Gedalia. The result that most Jews were now in Chutz Laaretz and left Eretz Yisrael didn't happen on the 3rd day of Tishrei. But it was precipitated by what happened because they murdered Gedalia. Eventually, most Jews fled Eretz Yisrael and ended up in Chutz Laaretz. It didn't happen on that day. It just was precipitated by what happened on that day. The only one of the four things that these fast days represent that actually happened on that day, mamish, was what happened on Asara B'Tevis. When they made the siege, at that moment, we lost our independence. At that moment, we were not in control anymore of where we went and what we got. They were in control. That took place on Asara B'Teves. None of the other things actually took place on that day. They just were precipitated by what happened on that day. Therefore, the halacha is that if for some reason you can't fast on the day, Tisha B'Av or whatever, it says, Tzom HaChamishi, Tzom HaRevi'i, Tzom HaAsiri. It calls it by the month. Meaning, it's not just that day that's significant, but the whole month. And therefore, in certain situations, if you can't fast on the day, Shivasa B'Tamuz, fast sometime during Tamuz. You can't fast on Tisha B'Av, fast on sometime during Av. And the same thing goes with Tishrei, Gimel Tishrei. But Asara B'Teves, because there, it wasn't really the day itself that was significant in bringing about that aspect of Golus. It didn't happen mamish on that day. It just was precipitated by that day. But losing our independence happened the day of Asara B'Teves. As soon as they made the siege, we lost our independence to a measure, right, because we couldn't move with our own choices. So that aspect of Golus, even though in a larger sense, it obviously happened in a larger sense over time, but it happened directly on that day in the smaller sense. In the micro, it happened on that day. All the other things didn't happen on that day, even in the micro. Not the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, not the fact that we were vulnerable to the Goyim. They broke down the wall that day. But the vulnerability to their things didn't happen until they actually started going into the city. And the same thing goes with when Gedalia was killed, we didn't disperse out of Eretz Yisrael on that day. It just that set the stage for what would happen over months to come. Nobody left Eretz Yisrael the day that Gedalia was murdered. They didn't know about it probably. But on Asara B'Teves, it happened that day. Therefore, all the other ones, the day is not that significant. So if it falls on Shabbos, so you fast on Sunday. But on Asara B'Teves, the day itself is significant. The day itself is when the actual tragedy occurred. And therefore we don't push it off. And if it falls on Shabbos, you fast on Shabbos. That could be an idea behind it. Okay, any questions on this? Now we'll go to something else.
I thought the actual loss of independence happened before, because the entire country was already overrun. That was only the final point. The independence was lost even earlier, not on that day.
Well, we still had a king, and we still basically could do what we wanted.
You help us. The entire country was already controlled by then, outside of Jerusalem, wasn't it? So the siege was earlier.
I hear, but we didn't lose again. But Yerushalayim was the seat of the government, right, of the Malchus. It was the seat of the Kohanim. So as long as we didn't lose our independence there, that was like the Iker. It happened around here. But it could be that still, the other things really didn't even happen Bechlau on that day. They just, here, at least, we lost the final nail in the coffin. Happened that day. But the Golus HaShechina happened 40 years before. The going into out of Eretz Yisrael didn't happen that day. It happened many, many days, months later. And the same thing goes for what's it called, the being vulnerable to the designs of the Goyim. Didn't happen the day where they broke down the walls. It happened as they progressed the next three weeks till they destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. But here, whatever happened, Lamaisa, on that day was, we lost our independence at some way on that day. It happened mamish that day. That's the difference.
Okay. Oh, but is this the only occasion where you had Saturday, Friday?
Yeah. The only other possibility is if Tainus Esther falls on Thursday and you forgot to fast on Thursday, then you fast on Friday. Right. Or if you accept a personal fast day, you can accept it on Friday. But then according to many, on a personal fast day, you don't have to fast till nightfall. You can already make Shabbos early. And eat already from Plaga Mincha and on. You don't go into Shabbos, but by a public fast day, which is the only one, is Asara B'Teves, you have to fast till nightfall, till Seis HaKochavim. You have to make Kiddush and Motzi before you can eat.
What's the first time Asara B'Teves was actually called a fast day?
In the time of, what's it called? It's mentioned in the Navi.
Yep.
By, yeah.
Right then it was already established?
Yeah. That's the Tzom HaChamishi, already fasted in Golis Bavel, they fasted these fast days.